Now is my opportunity to introduce Karen Amaya to you all, who is my Kalyana Mitra, actually, and we were both at the LBC together before I was ordained, and a little time after. You were ordained in 1988 by Sangharakshita, and then you went to India in
1997.
Oh, yes, it was just before I was ordained. But Karen Amaya comes and stays with us every year when she's having a bit of time away from India, so we have the pleasure of her company in our house. And so I persuaded her, well, didn't need persuading, but I thought it was such a good opportunity when we're talking about Sangharakshita and Karen Amaya's in the country to pin her down on a Saturday so that we can have her talk. And then she's had this great idea of bringing her friends as well, who are staying in the country at the moment. So a rich morning in store, I think. I hand over to my Kalyana Mitra.
So, yeah, I'm very happy to be here. I think before I start saying a few words, well, I think I've been asked to say one or two words about my what Banti means to me, what Sangharakshita means to me, the founder.
Only more than one or two.
Well, I was just going to clarify what one or two words means in India. usually when people are asked to say one or two words, I haven't put all these things on.
Oh.
When people are asked to say one or two words, that usually goes on for a minimum of 1 hour. Help. There's lots of bits of wire here. Can you help sort me out here? This one as well?
Mm-hmm. On the jumper.
Okay. Yes. So I want to keep it quite short, well, shorter, because it's a very special opportunity to hear from our two Indian sisters, Dharmacharini Vidyadharini, who is from central India, from Nagpur, where some of you may have heard about the mass conversions to Buddhism in 1956. So this is at the heart of our Dharma revolution in India. And we'll hear a bit from her later on. And also Dharmacharini Shraddhabhadri, who is from North India. We don't have so many order members, Dharmacharis and Dharmacharinis, in Uttar Pradesh and other states, but she's one of our few Indian order members in the north of India, and a very active, dynamic Dharmacharini she is, with a great yes. And well, there's lots I could say about both of them, and I'd love to say more about both of them, but I think I'll let them speak for themselves after some time, after my one or two words. Yeah, and I'm not used to talking without a translator. And the positive thing about having a translator is that it gives you time to think about what you're going to say next. But having Vidyadharini sit next to me is reassuring, because she's very often one of my translators. So it kind of makes me feel at home. So, yes. I think this talk's got a title. And it's called From the Shadow to the Golden Light. And I'm calling it that because I'm going to begin by recounting a dream that I had a very long time ago. I think I was probably only in my early 20s. And in a way, it in a succinct form sums up a lot to do with my relationship with Sangharakshita, with Banti, our teacher. So there were two parts to this dream. In one part, the more difficult, the shadow side, Banti, and this is back in the early 70s, Banti was sitting in the middle of a shrine room with lots of women, and he was giving a talk, but the women weren't really attending. You know, people were lying on the floor, doing their knitting and not really attending to his talk. And Banti himself he was dressed in rather dirty looking clothes, looking a little bit scruffy. And yes, it was not a very attractive image. In those days, we often used to listen to Banti on tape lectures, and I know that sometimes women did look like they were falling asleep and doing their knitting, but yeah, he was there in person, and that's what was happening. And then the other part, the more inspiring part of the dream, was that I felt that I was there, but as a mature woman, not as a young woman as I was then. And there were it seemed like thousands of people, and we were all following, Sangharakshita. There was sort of a sense of golden light. I mean, I think in a way we were all dressed as in golden robes. And it was a sense that thousands of us were going towards one point, like a big stadium or something like that. And well, my sense from that dream was that I had a choice, you know, which Sangharakshita to follow, the one that was a little bit disreputable, or the one who was really, really inspiring and, well, like this golden light which was leading towards the Buddha. And well, there's been a kind of bit of a push-pull through my life as a member of this organisation, Tri Ratna Buddhist Community, which I will look at a bit in my talk. So I'm going to intersperse a little bit of autobiography. I started to be interested in Eastern philosophy and Buddhism as a young woman. I was a student studying biochemistry, and realised I wasn't so interested in the biochemistry and was looking for something else. And I didn't live anywhere near any Buddhist centres, but I ended up taking a year off from my course and did a lot of what we used to call shopping around, which meant going to many weird and wonderful groups, which I won't elaborate now. But somehow I found our centre in the north of London. It was, I think, probably the only centre at that time, a place called Archway. And I almost gave up because it was a winter night, I just thought I was lost and wasn't going to find this centre. But eventually I heard some wind chimes and I decided this was the road with the centre in it, and it was a little bit hippie-fied in those days. And well, what struck me immediately was that people were very, very human and themselves. As I said, I did a lot of shopping around and I met some very weird and wonderful practitioners of different traditions, but people seem very much themselves and very human, and I found this very attractive. And I was also very drawn to listening to some of these tape lectures of Sangharakshita's. When I turned up, it was the time when Sangharakshita had a sabbatical, so I didn't meet him in person for quite some time, but regularly they used to play his lectures. And I was just very, very taken with, firstly his clarity, and then, well, his appropriateness for the Western mind at that time. Subsequently, I've learned that actually it's appropriate across cultures. I'll say a bit more about that in a minute. But also I was struck by, clarity, appropriateness, and there was another point. Banti's ability to get to the essence of the Dhamma, the core teachings of the Dhamma, I really, really appreciated that, and I continue to appreciate that. And, well, I said that it was appropriate across different cultures, and I very much have found that in my life in India. It isn't just about Western mentality, it's also there in India as well. I've met many people who've said, yes, my family became Buddhist at the time of the mass conversions, I became a Buddhist, but really we were carrying on with the same old Hindu traditions because we didn't know what Buddhism meant. You know, there were some monks, but they didn't really teach us how to meditate or to really what the Buddhism was. But it was when I came across the teachings of Tri Ratna and Banchi Sangharakshita that I really knew what the Dharma was, what Buddhism was. So many times I've heard that story in India. Barabara means right. So many times I've heard that story. So immense clarity, appropriateness, not just to the West, and able to distill the essence of Buddhism. So that's, I found that really, really attractive. So after I somehow staggered through my degree, I decided that I didn't want to be a biochemist, and I moved to London and got involved in some of the very early communities and the beginnings of what we used to be called right livelihood businesses. And we lived in somewhat substandard housing. I mean, that's a whole story, but which I won't go into. But at some point, we set up a large women's community right over in Wanstead, in a condemned house. It was due to the demolition to make some bypass eventually. And we lived there, a group of women. I became the electrician. Please don't ask me to rewire your house. But I did help rewire this house. We live to tell the tale. So at that point, I did begin to meet Sangharakshita. He came to visit us a couple of times. But actually, there were other. This is where I start to talk a bit more about the shadow and the, well, in a way, doubts, which I have to say, the doubts I realise are a lot to do with me. But yes, so the shadow. As a young woman, when I first heard that Banti had sexual relationships, homosexual relationships, as a young and somewhat naive young woman, I found that quite challenging. I think confusing, because I'd understood that he was a monk who at times wore robes. And I did find that quite confusing, and was subsequently, in my time in India since 97, it has actually caused a few difficulties. There was an article that came out in the Guardian newspaper in the UK, which then was distributed in India, and a clash of cultural understanding was very difficult for many of our Sangha members. And I'd been often in the position of needing to help people come to some sort of understanding of the situation in the West. So yes, I did find that difficult. And another aspect which I found challenging at that time was about the relationship between the men and the women. I mean, people were young and naive, and unfortunately, sometimes, I mean, there was a need for men and women to have more independence from one another. I could definitely see that. Many of us were in our early 20s. So yes, there was definite. It was important that we learnt to be more independent from the other sex. But yes, unfortunately, sometimes there was a lack of kindness. I found that a very difficult period at times. But I'm very pleased to say there's a huge change in Tri Ratna in the last, many years. So that's more the shadow, a little bit about the shadow. But I said about women, there's a bit more to the story about women, because the difficulties sometimes with some of the things that Sangharakshita has said about, appeared to say about men and women. But at the same time, he is actually rather revolutionary in his approach to the role of women in the Buddhist world. In our order, men and women have completely equal ordinations. It's not in the traditional Buddhist world; the women are often seen as secondary to the monks. In our order, that's not the case. And in the last few years, women have ordained women into our order, you know, again, traditionally there would need to usually be a monk would be involved with the ordination of women. So at the same time as there have been things which I found difficult, there are also things which I really appreciate about Sangharakshita's approach in terms of women. I had a period. I'm going to come back to revolutionary in a minute, but I had a period. I've had various periods in my life when there's been quite a lot of doubt, and I think, you know, doubt has a tendency to questioning is obviously has its positive sides. Wanting to know, understand things, you know, asking questions, not accepting things on face value. You know, the Buddha actually encouraged us to not to just accept things on the basis of what other people tell you. But yes, I have been a bit beset by doubt. And as a new order member, as Dhyapachani was saying, I was ordained by Sangharakshita in 1988. As a new order member, I was quite troubled by what I thought was a huge amount of doubt that I seemed to have. And at times, it seemed that the only thing which I didn't doubt was the Buddha. You know, ever since I first heard about the Buddha, I've always had, you know, a great faith in the Buddha. But in terms of just about everything else, there has been doubt. And there has been doubt about Sangharakshita in my past. There's a sutta which I sometimes remember called the Chaito Kila Sutta, I think that's how you pronounce it, where the Buddha talks about the five wildernesses of the heart. And, well, basically it's about doubt in the teacher, doubt in the teaching, doubt in the spiritual community, doubt in the companions in the spiritual community, and doubt in something else which has temporarily gone out of my mind, but it will come to me later, perhaps. Doubt in the practice, so that's to say the ethics. And the Buddha is saying in that sutta, well, if this is there, then it's very hard to progress. So for a time, I was concerned about my own capacity to doubt. But things seem to have changed a lot in the last few years. But yes, always there was the faith in the Buddha. And, well, actually, there's great appreciation and faith in Sangharakshita as well. And I do seem to have come to some sort of resolution about the difficulties that I have experienced in the past. So I mentioned revolutionary. Banti is a revolutionary. Yeah, he's radical in his approach to the Buddhist life. And I appreciated this when I was 20 years old. And now 40 years later, I don't seem to have mellowed. I still appreciate that he has a radical approach. I mentioned that about equal ordinations for men and women. Even what our order is, I alluded to, well, Banti had contact with Dr. Ambedkar before Dr. Ambedkar's conversion to Buddhism. And, well, Dr. Ambedkar said that there was a need for a new type of Buddhist worker, because he felt that the existing Sangha did not work, you know, the ordained monks and nuns, and the lay people. It just meant things were rather stagnant. I mean, it's a whole lecture which I won't give right now. So Dr. Ambedkar talked about the need for a new type of Buddhist worker, and in a way, that's what the Dharmachari and the Dharmacharini are. They're not lay, they're not monastic, but trying to practice Buddhism in the modern world. So Banti is revolutionary in that way. I mean, he's also revolutionary in he saw the need for the transformation of society. As did Dr. Ambedkar in India. Dr. Ambedkar chose Buddhism because he could see that was the only way to be free of caste prejudice in India. But yes, Sangharakshita saw the importance of of transforming society. And in, you know, in some ways, in this movement, we've had different experiments with right livelihood, with community living. And I very personally very much hope that those things are going to continue into the future. So yes, he's radical in that way. He's a revolutionary. And I've always found that deeply attractive. But then, a bit more personally, from my personal dealings with Sangharakshita, he's always been very, very kind in my one-to-one communication with him. I was able to see him a couple of weeks ago when I was at Adastana, our centre in central England in Herefordshire, where my two friends are currently part of the Young Women's Course. And yeah, he's just very always very encouraging, very kind, and very always supportive of my life. And well, I thought I'd say something about my ordination, because in some ways I've never actually understood what happened. Yeah, the ordination was in 1988, and before the ordination, we went into silence for a few days, not that many days, because it was quite short retreat. These days, often women are ordained on 3-month retreats, or the men on 4-month retreats, sometimes, not always. So we had a few days of silence. And the night before my ordination, I had some dreams, which I'm not going to recount all the details. But there were three parts to the dreams, which to me seemed to indicate that I was somebody without compassion, that I felt that I didn't have compassion. And of course, there's always degrees of how much compassion is there. But I felt in the silence really disturbed by the fact that here I was as a Buddhist and I didn't have compassion. And then later that day at night time, Sangharakshita ordains me, and he says that now we come to your name. And this morning I woke up, and the name that came to me was Karuna Maya, which means she who is the embodiment of compassion. And I felt like saying, Bhante, look, you've made a mistake. don't you realise that this is not the right name? I mean, of course I didn't. But yes, so I feel there's something that's very, very perceptive. I mean, who knows what that means, really. I wouldn't like to speculate. But I've always found that Bhante is very perceptive and, as I say, very kind and supportive. And, And so I think... So I've said, what have I said? First of all, I've said about the clarity of his teaching, the appropriateness, being able to distill the essence of the Buddha Dharma, Buddhism. I've talked about the shadow side and my difficulties. I've talked about his radical approach to the Dharma. And I've just talked a bit more about his personal relationship. Well, I think one more thing to do with that is that Bhante himself has described himself as our Kalyana Mitra, our spiritual friend. He didn't particularly want to describe himself as a guru or teacher. And well, I think that's significant, that he hasn't encouraged a kind of guru worship, which I did observe in my shopping around in other organisations. And, I was thinking, when I was thinking about this talk, when I did first see Sangharakshita, I was somewhat disappointed because I, at that time I'd been to see the Rajneesh organisation, which is Osho these days, various other teachers. You know, Osho has had a flowing beard and really looked the part of a guru. In fact, later, when I went to India in my late 20s, I actually did hear Osho give a talk. Bhante didn't really look the part. He had sort of rather lank, greasy looking hair, and you know, he looked a bit as if he could be a, you know, working, well, who knows. He didn't look particularly the part of a guru. But yes, I've always so much appreciated the fact that whenever I met him, he's been so kind, perceptive, encouraging. And he hasn't set himself up to be the guru. He's been trying to encourage his disciples. I think he once talked about them standing on his shoulders so that they could take the Dharma forwards. So, yes, in my life, I feel that more and more I have chosen the golden light. I've seen the effect of the Dharma revolution, as we call it in India, on the lives of my friends in India, the transformative effect that can have. And in these difficult days all over the world, I just feel that the Dharma has so many answers to many of the society and world's difficulties. I just hope that more and more of us can join the thousands of people that were in my dream and really move towards that golden light, the golden light of the Buddha. So, yes, I would invite one of my friends to say a little bit about what Sangharakshita, what Bhante means to them. And well, I know that since they've been at Astana, they've been very, very fortunate to actually meet Sangharakshita. You can't imagine how many people in India would so much love to come and meet Sangharakshita. So it's a huge, huge thing. And I feel very happy that it's been possible, because for a while Sangharakshita's health was not so good. This year he will be 90 years old. So very happy that has happened. So, if you'd like to say Ekdo Shabda, but maybe not 1 or 2 hours. one or two words, but not 1 or 2 hours. Shraddhavendri.
Okay. Namo Buddhaya. Jai Bhim.
Jai
Bhim. Thank you very much, Karunamaya. Karunamaya is also my Kalyan Mitra and my preceptor, my public preceptor. Pande. I think Dr. Karunamaya, she gave talk and she talked about the Bhante, what the relationship with Bhante and Dr. Ambedkar. Because of in my life, this is my first love, and my second is my last love is Baba Sahib. And I always say, without Baba Sahib, I have no dignity. Baba Sahib gave me the dignity. And because of in my home, till to my childhood, I know about the Baba Sahib very much. And when TBMSG came to in our side in 1991, that time I am a little girl. I'm a very little girl. But that time also means I'm very much connected to the Buddhism, I think, because of my
We're just moving microphones.
So, yeah, 1991. And that time is first time I heard about the Bhante Sangharakshit. And show him picture, but I'm not very much connected with him. But slowly, so many Dhammachari, they come to in our side, and they are very much friendly. They are very much, they just love to me very easily, without attachment love. And they give so much metta. And I'm very much attract because of they have this compassion and they teach very well the Dhamma. That time they are the most of them, they are the young, they are very young on that time. But in class, because of I'm the little, that's why they love. they sometimes they carry me, sometimes they just give me the chocolate, just things, just like children come to their class. So I'm very much attracted, and that's why I just decided to be in 1995. Just became, see, first time the Dhamma Mitra and Dhamma Charani in Sangha. So I'm so shocked that time, and I see, oh, really? The woman is also in Sangha. It's Dhamma Mitra and Dhamma Charani. Wow, wonderful. So, and then my father, he involved in Sangha. That time, my father, he's totally changed, and I feel very big effect on my brother. When he attend first retreat, the Sangha retreat, before retreat, his behavior is, he's not very much friendly with the sister, but after that, he's so much friendly, so much change, just in one retreat, he's so much change. And he said, what happened with him now? What happened with him? And after that, I found this is because of the Dhamma teaching, it's very helpful. And slowly, means in Dhamma, when I became the Dhamma Mitra, I became the Dhamma Charini, and just crossed the North India, come to the Maharashtra. That time I am some of Dhamma Charini, I am very much connected to with them, just like in Nyanshuri, some of know Nyanshuri, and Nyanshuri, Karunamaya, Vajrasuri, I come this develop friendship with them, and sometimes I feel if they are means they are do so many things, and they have such a good things inside. They are practitioner Buddhist and very good practitioner Buddhist. So means how's the Bhante? Because of Bhante teach to them, and the Bhante teach to them, and they teach to us. So that time I realized, oh, means maybe he's the person is amazing person. And when I just read about them, means the Bhante and Baba Sahab. They meet to each other three times they have the communications. And I think after my ordination, I very much feel connection with the Bhantes very much. Whenever I saw some Dhammacharis in practice, they are very much practitioner. So I feel, yeah, Ms. Bhante did such a very big work, I think, in whole over world, but especially I found in India, because of I'm living in India, and in north side of India. So there I feel, before Triratnam, there is so many moments, still there are so many moments, but they just have just like an organization, they teach so many things, but in the practical, they not follow. So still, sometimes whenever I meet to some organization, they say, oh, Shraddha Vajri, come, and I say, you teach very well. Sometimes you give the good teaching, but on the practical, you have nothing. So it's not very effective, I feel. And Baba Sahab, he want to be a new type of bhikshu, new type of monk. And I think I found in Sangha, the Dhammachari and Dhammacharini, they are the new type of Baba Sahib's, monk. Modern monk? modern monk. Because Baba Sahib, he always say, means especially for youth, his last quotation for the youths and some of quotation, he say, means, You became very intelligent, but the same time you have a good practitioner. If you are not rope the rope, just like a monk, but your heart just like a monk, and you work for society, you serve for society, and pay back to society. And I always remember this word, pay back to society. And that time I feel Bhante did all the work, the Baba Sahib's work. Baba Sahib put the responsibility to the Bhante's shoulder. And Bhante means fulfill all the responsibility. All the responsibility Bhante fulfill. And in India, so many Dhammachari and Dhammacharis. And they really means they pay back to society. And before that, I think before Sangha, they don't understand to Baba Sahib. They just understand, oh, Dr. Ambedkar, he gave the rights to us, freedom to us. But what the Baba Sahib's actual work, they don't they don't understand before the Sangha. But now when the Sangha come and Bhante means he gives us such a beautiful Sangha. So we understand Baba Sahab's work and his work for not for India, for his work for I think for human being, for all over world, his actual work. So that time I feel so much gratitude and I decide to be, before I die, I don't know when I die in my life because of my mind always be ready. In India, this traveling is sometimes it's not so good. So much accident. So I always be keep in my mind anytime I can die, anytime. But just have such type of mind always I have. But before I die, I want to be meet to Bhante because of he done such a amazing work. I think beyond to our understanding. Bhante's work beyond to our understanding. And when I meet to Bhante, I just look to him and I feel, wow, miss, I have such a great opportunity. Miss, I'm not seen to the Buddha because of 2500 before, and I don't have opportunity to see face to face to Baba Sahib, who's I love very much. And but yeah, in my life, I see the such a developed spiritual person. Bhante is very much a developed person, and when I meet to him, I don't miss my emotions. I dress up very well. First time is I have very new clothes. And I meet to him and without him, his meeting, I just feel, just like that. And just I feel, if death comes, it just come because of now. I just meet very, very big spiritual person. So just like this. And this is not just my feeling. I think this is the same feeling. So many Indians, they have same feeling about the Bhante. So much deep feeling, and because of I know the Baba Sahib give equality, but in Sangha means real I feel the equality. I have the taste of equality, I have taste of the freedom in Sangha. And I'm so grateful the Bhante, I'm so grateful because of the taste of the things and in Sangha. In North India, sometimes I say, yes, I'm equal to. And they say, yes, you are equal. But in other organizations, women's not equal. Mm-hmm. The man is there, woman is here. Mm-hmm. But in Sangha, we are very much equal. Mm-hmm. Very much. So this is all the Bhante. And I'm such a miss. I'm so grateful. Mm-hmm. I'm in a order in, mm-hmm. in Triratna. And I pay so much gratitude to Bhante. So I think this is, Bhante is very much close to my heart, and I think just like a Baba Sahib, I love to Baba Sahib, and same I love to Bhante very much. And Bhante has become my inspiration too, because I know is so much. Most people they are practicing the Dhamma. Thank you very much.
Vidya Dharani.
Namo Buddhaya. Jai Bhim. I'm very thankful to you to sharing my some experience about Bhante. I think where I live there is history because Baba Sahib there was mass conversion, and so that's why I'm very close to heart. My heart is very close to Dr. Baba Sahib Ambedkar. And because of him, in our side, means
Baba Sahib
runs in our blood. Yeah. Every blood is process is going on, and it's a very strong emotion in our side, every human being. And I think because of Dr. Baba Sahib Ambedkar, I also very I receive Buddha. I think because I've very, very great and strong faith on Dr. Babasaheb Ambedkar. And in my childhood, I used to go to Vihara, means Buddhist temple, and there they shown some documentary film on Dr. Babasaheb Ambedkar's life. So it was very strong influence on me. And at that time, I show no one saved the life of any human being as well as Dr. Babasaheb Ambedkar, because he was very struggling at that time since childhood, and he was at that time feelings like untouchability or some humility like that, and very, very most of the time he was suffering from pain, and sometimes he also shows so many people suffering from the same situation. So he chose at that time only one religion, not one dhamma, Buddha dhamma, and so that's why I also received Buddha dhamma. And at that time in my childhood, I used to go to temple, but I only recited to only puja, means Pali Vandana. So that's why only I recited. No one, no monk, and no one said to me how to meditate, how to, whatever you recited, what is the meaning of that word, or what is the teaching, no one said to me. But when I introduced to Triratna Bodha Mahasangha at that time, when I went to one meditation class, and one Dhammachari Vivekaratna, at that time he, she delivered one talk on some our habits, sanskara, and our conditions, life patterns, and that's why very I touched to my heart, and it was, oh, whatever said Vivekaratna, it's only said about me, and how he know about myself like that is a very big question. It was very mystery at that time. And yes, and Sangha, because of Bhante, I joined Dhitiratna because of Bhante. So many Dhammachari in India, so that's why I got benefit to all of them, and so I'm here, I think like that. And I think when I joined the Dhamma that time, first time I realized, now I try to understand what is the meaning of the word, like the what is the meaning of the angry, what is the meaning of the greed, what is the meaning of the ignorance, not a more much more level, but it's my level like that. So it's very helpful to me to change myself, my attitude, my sanskara. And I think I also wanted to at that time some example before me, like a exemplification. And just at that time, Karuna Maya came down in Nagpur, especially India, so that's why she came in Nagpur, and Vajashuri. And both persons are really, really, really very unwonderful, amazing, and they are really exemplification for all the ladies, women. And yes, I think if they didn't come in India, I would not be in Sangha. Because I wanted to some strong relationship between some teachers, those persons. I wanted to receive all the things, not by the cheap teaching, but as well as the exemplification by the way of some experience like that. So I think I'm very, very fortunate to I got two persons, very amazing persons, and because of Bhante, they are with us. So that's why I connected to that the channel. My preceptor, yes, Karuna Maya is my public preceptor. So my channel, Vajashuri Maya's private preceptor. So this channel is connected to Bhante, and Bhante also got ordained. Vajrashuri, yes? So that's why it's a very strong connection. And I felt very gratitude to Bhante because of that, whatever say Karuna Maya, because of the clarity about the Dhamma. So I wanted to also clarity about the Dhamma. And Bhante wrote so many books, but when I did study on Eightfold Path, at that time I realized what is the meaning of perfect vision. And it's very helpful to me. Otherwise, I didn't understand only meanings It's a very, very, very big words and mysterious words. But in my level, I try to understand. And still I try to understand. At the end of life, I will try to understand. Yes, it's a faith on Dhamma and because of Bhante. And it's very close relation to Dr. Babasaheb Ambedkar. Dr. Babasaheb Ambedkar wanted to such a type of persons who modified the India. And Bhante Sangharakshit ji, who fulfilled the dream of Dr. Babasaheb Ambedkar, especially in India. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And also I feel here means, yes, here, whatever said Shadavaji, yes, I feel here is equality between men and women, because India is very male dominated person, and so that's why, because of Bhante, I feel I am very individual person. I am going on the process to become individual person, otherwise not. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's a very big I get benefit as I become individual, and when I came here, because of Bhante, otherwise it would not be. Whatever I studying here in Adhisthana, because of Bhante, when I came here, so I realized it's a wonderful atmosphere, because so many practitioners are living there, and they are again exemplification before me. Yes, and also when I met Asin Bhante in the month, I remember the date on 7th March 2015. That the day was, I think, Saturday. And that time, just my stomach like, just one girl will meet to some lover or something special like that. Just my feeling was there. And when I met with Bhante that time, Bhante was very, really easy, very kind, very compassionate. No feel like that. Just a hierarchy. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's very amazing. And he encouraged me. And he asked me questions, so many. And he gave feedback me very positively and inspiring me. So it's a very, very touching. And because of Bhante, I think when in India, I never dream ki I will meet with Bhante, but because of Bhante, my dream fulfill my dream, and again I will wish to meet with Bhante whenever I go back to India. And just I think Bhante in my life, and in not my life, in whole Indian women life, Bhante plays significant role in their lives, I think. And so he is a very wonderful person, really, really wonderful, and very, I pay so much gratitude to him because of, I think, my preceptors, my mothers gave me birth, my preceptors gave me birth, but Bhante gave birth my preceptors, and so that's why they gave me. So it's a very, very, my great and great like that's guardian. So it's, I'm a very fortunate person, so he is my ancestor. Yeah, so I'm very thankful to him, and I'm very grateful to him, and I have no words to express my feelings towards Bhante. It's very, very magical mystery, and I think I'm a very fortunate person, and you are listening me very patiently, and I'm so thankful to all of you.
Thank you.
How many, do you remember how many people you have ordained in India?
Personally?
Yeah, personally.
I'm afraid I don't.
Just a rough guess.
No, I'm not altogether sure about that. Mm. But when I first went in 97, there were 11 Dharmacharanis, and were several already, maybe, I don't know how many, but more than 100 odd men. Now we have, I think, I was trying to ask Vidyadharani, but you're not quite sure. I think there's 140 Dharmacharanis. And well, we're very much hoping in August, September that there may be another 20 Dharmacharanis ordained. But that's not all down to me. It's sort of Shradavadri mentioned, well, you know Yanashuri, Indian, yes. Well, very amazing Indian Dharmacharani, one of our elders, and Vajashuri, who's from Australia, and a very wonderful team of Indian women who are growing more and more individual, as Vidyadharani described.
But so, I just want to say, when I was over in India for the Order Convention, my Abhijaya Shri, whenever I met an Indian Dharmacharani, we would say, there were some questions, we would ask, what's your name? And then the second question would always be, what's your preceptor? Mm. Who's your preceptor? Mm. And nearly everybody I met was either, Karunamaya was either the private or the public preceptor. Mm. Nearly everybody.
Yeah.
You are a preceptor, very, very many women.
But I will try to work it out.
Yeah, Karunamaya, there is a one of the heroine there.
Yeah,
who played the Indian women there. Yes.
She is the backbone of India.
Backbone.
Moving on.
How many women are in the process?
Well, again, statistics are not great, but we're supposed to have at least 950 women who've requested, which is equal to the whole of the rest of the world combined, I think. But how many? I wouldn't like to say that all 950 were really plugged in. But even if only half of them are, there's still quite a few. I mean, we sometimes have retreats where anybody can come. GFR means ordination training retreats, and we had one at the place near where Vidyadharani lives, and 150 women came. That's quite a large number. But I mean, it's very good. And in January, for the first time, we had some women who became Dharmacharanis from Gujarat, which is in northwest India. It's actually onto the Pakistani border, some of it. Four women were ordained from there, which is a huge step forward. And the other wonderful thing about that was that I think six women, which I'm very happy about, had completely Indian preceptors, both private and public, because it's really important for me to see before I die that that things will continue fully with Indian Dharmacharanis. So I was very happy about that.
And I think you're following in Bante tradition by making yourself
redundant. Is that the right word?
So you're passing on to others. I'm just so pleased that you brought your lovely friends today, because it's just it's very moving to see you here and hear you talk about what Dr. Ambedkar meant to you and where you would be without him because I think we've talked quite a bit over the years in this room about what so-called untouchability does to people, and it's just marvellous to see two strong women speaking in another language, which is quite hard, and doing so well, just really doing so well. I'm really so pleased you're here. Thank you for coming. Sorry.
Yes.
I have one question for our Indian guests, which is, do you think if Dr. Ambedkar were alive now, he would be pleased with his legacy and the progress that's been made against caste discrimination, or disappointed that there's still, that caste discrimination still exists?
I think it's a very nice question. And it is hard also. Same time. Maybe I think Dr. Ambedkar, Ms. Baba Sahib, maybe he is so pleased to be, Ms. People come forward. And this is now is not so much the discrimination there in India. But I think the other hand, he have same pain because of still in India, some part of India, still the same casteism, still the same discrimination. Just recently in Haryana, so many people, because of they are belong to the untouchability, so the upper caste people, they kill to them. And just recently, I think in this week, this thing happening. So just not there in Punjab is happen. So it's everywhere in India. These things happening is every day. And especially with women, there's so many rape cases. I think more than 70% rape cases in India with the untouchable women. Yeah. I think Dr. Ambedkar, he's not fully is happy about that thing. But if he is alive, so maybe he just do with the bhantes, is big things. But I think I'm so pleased because of bhante, the Baba Sahab's vision come forward, and people understand the discrimination is not good. Sometimes the people who are the untouchable, they also have a discrimination in their mind. So sometimes they feel to them, oh, we are the depressed, we are the untouchables. But I think now in those days people don't feel like that. So they just, you know, they feel we are equal. So sometimes they fight like that. So I think if Baba Sahab, if he is somewhere, his consciousness, maybe he is so pleased to see some person, they come forward and to fight.
Satisfied?
Sorry, my English is not good. That's why.
Oh, your English is good.
Yeah.
Can I just
say,
I was quite struck when I was at the International Convention in India that we met often under the Bodhi tree, and people would lead things. So there was those who were Western, those who were Indian, and some evenings it would be an Indian woman leading the whole group of us. And I think that was quite a radical thing, because you'd have Indian men, Western men, and have an Indian Dharmacharini. It was fantastic leading that. And it was very, very public. So there'd be lots of other groups be really interested and looking. And and I think things like that were fantastic, actually. I felt really proud.
I remembering the one thing about the Corona Maya. Yeah, I think the 40 degree temperature when you come to North side. I think more than 40 degree maybe.
It was
and
hot, yes.
Yeah, it was so hot that time. And Corona Maya, skin burned that time. The sun burns completely. Means Corona Maya, she burned on sun. And that time she is able to come there and meet two people and just talk about the Baba Sahib, give talk about the Baba Sahib in Meerut. I mean, I'm remembering because of that time when you just go, you just went and just crying because of, I feel, means see work hard, means sunburn is, and I see it, Corona Maya. More than 40, I think 45, like that's the temperature. You can, amazing, the 45 degree temperature. And Karuna Maya, she is Indian, but her skin is still not. Skin born to some, no, the good weather, just like here. But heart is completely Indian, I know. But in that situation also, she works. So means in North side, means the women, sometimes they see this type of practice. Na? So they are, means before that, they are in their home, they are very much deep, means not equal. The husband is dominated all the time. But in Sangha, they just stand like that sometimes. And they just stand like that. Sometimes the husband says, what happened now? So this is a big change. Sometimes I feel, if Baba Sahib, did he look somewhere? He's so pleased. Their daughter come forward now. Their daughter became very strong. they can face the problems. Yeah, problem is all over the world, but they became strong. They can face the problem. So like that means I'm so pleased because of such type. It's just like a good practitioner. They come, so we can see and we can practice. That's like that. So Baba Sahib, so pleased to be seeing the Karuna Mai. Her is his daughter. Come and work in India.
I think we have to stop. It's 1 o'clock. So I want to thank you, all three of you, so very much for coming. Thank you, Shraddha Bhadri, Karuna Mai, and Vidya Dharani. It's been such a pleasure. Yeah. And it's lovely to know that you're up there in Adistana, so close to Bhante.
Yeah.
And you sometimes see him wandering, walking about.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for coming. Thank you.